He was growing into middle age and was living then in a bungalow on Woodland Avenue. He installed himself in a rocking chair and smoked a cigar down in the evenings as his wife wiped her pink hands on an apron and reported happily on their two children. His children knew his legs, the sting of his mustache against their cheeks. They didn't know how their father made his living or why they so often moved. They didn't even know their father's name. He was listed in the city directory as Thomas Howard. And he went everywhere unrecognized and lunched with Kansas City shopkeepers and merchants, calling himself a cattleman or commodities investor. Someone rich and leisured who had the common touch. He had two incompletely healed bullet holes in his chest and another in his thigh. He was missing the nub of his left middle finger and was cautious lest that mutilation be seen. He also had a condition that was referred to as granulated eyelids, and it caused him to blink more than usual, as if he found creation slightly more than he could accept. Rooms seemed hotter when he was in them. Rains fell straighter. Clocks slowed. Sounds were amplified. He considered himself a Southern loyalist and guerrilla in a civil war that never ended. He regretted neither his robberies nor the 17 murders that he laid claim to. He had seen another summer under in Kansas City, Missouri. And on September 5th, in the year 1881, he was 34 years old.
You just slide them things right in there, right in the sleeve. And then when you get ready, you just shake it out. Like that, right there, you shake it out.
We need water. Here it is. Go ahead.
On the stairs in the middle of school. President's men would tire up hay baling wire, keep them whipping their husband's ears off. You never heard word one about the wife of Confederacy's Jefferson Davis, did you?
I didn't.
No, you didn't. He did his duty by her.
Huh? Oh, my God, I'm speaking to children.
No, I get it.
The president of the Confederacy would discern his wife's needs and satisfy them with the utmost skill. And the utmost courtesy.
Charlie, you spill over my boot.
Sorry, Jesse.
I'll wipe it off.
Abraham Lincoln probably sent his wife on a shopping expedition. Three act play.
What a story for us.
Tim! I think Sandy run both sides of that Lincoln family. Damn.
About
that.
Yeah.
You feel good?
The river there. You jump in the river.
Jeff!
Don't be shy now,
dude. When you
one more piece of meat.
When you did it a lot.
There's a good piece of bacon fat in there for him.
Sounds like this.
You're about to eat.
There's a word for it.
Trying to eat.
Excuse me. Sis, chased right on in and interrupted you.
Who are you then?
Pop Four.
Charlie's brother?
Yeah. I was lying when I said I just happened down here. I've been looking for you. I've
I feel lousy. I didn't say so at the outset.
Folks sometimes take me for a nincompoop on account of shabby first impression I make, whereas I always thought of myself as being just a rung down from the James Brothers. And I was hoping if I ran into you, aside from those picker woods, I could show you how special I am. I honestly believe I'm destined for great things, Mr. James. I got qualities that don't come shining through right at the outset. If you give me a chance, I get the job done. I guarantee you that.
Hey, Dick, is it true you diddled a squaw?
Shh. Come on, you can tell me. I just want to lay down with a redskin.
Well, Charlie, there's a feeling that comes over you. Getting inside a woman whose hands has scalped a congregation.
And there's this thunderous sound that comes from their cooch on account of the fact that they birthed a child standing upright, like a wild animal.
What's it sound like?
Whatever a thunderous cooch sounds like, Charlie, I don't know.
Nah. They got a noisy quim on account of the fact that they use their cunnies as a saddlebag to carry sundries across the plains.
Come on, what if you really feel like? Did it feel good? Come on, fess up now.
I like you, Charlie.
I like you too, Charlie. Well.
You're not so special, Mr. Ford. You're just like any other tyro who's pranked himself up for an escapade, hoping to be a gunslinger like them nickel books are about. You may as well quench your mind of it. Because you don't have the ingredients, son.
I'm sorry to hear you feel that way, honey. How does that put such stock in your opinions? As for me being a gunslinger, I just got this one Granddaddy Patterson Colt and a barbed belt to stick it in. But I also got an appetite for greater things. I hope by joining up with you would put me that much closer to getting them.
What am I supposed to say to that?
Let me be your sidekick tonight.
Sidekick?
So you can examine my grit and intelligence.
I don't know what it is about you, but the more you talk, the more you give me the willies. Now, I don't believe I want you anywhere within earshot this evening, okay? You understand?
Well, I'm sorry.
Why don't you just get now? Scat.
I was with a girl once. Wasn't a squaw. She's pretty. She had yellow hair, like something.
Like hair bobbed from a ray of sunlight.
Yeah. Yeah, like that. You talk good.
You can hide things in vocabulary.
Maybe you and me could write her a note. Send it by post?
See, all you gotta do, Ed,
is predict her needs and beat her to the punch.
Well, this girl, she has a real specific job.
Specific?
We was only together once. She's afraid of lightning. She came up under the wagon and just called her right up to me. She gave me a kind price, too.
Well, I'll be. That is specific.
Yeah, sure, she's been with other people. But the kind of things she said to me, people just don't say unless they really mean it.
My love said she would marry only me. And Jove himself could not make her care. For what women say to lovers, you'll agree, one writes on running water or on air.
My God, that's good. Let's write her that.
Nah.
Poetry don't work on a horse.
Hey, dude. Am I too late to wish you a happy birthday?
How'd you know?
Well, you'd be surprised at what I got stored away. I'm an authority on the James boys.
Is you?
Oh, well, your brother Frank and I wish had a real nice visit. Just chit-chatting about this and that over there. And, must have been 100 subjects
good
entertained.
Good Lord, you know what this dude needs?
Dumplings?
Noodles. You eat yourself some noodles, too. Your clock tick on that. You ever see that woman up in Fayette? Suck noodles up her nose. In Fayette?
No, I don't believe I have.
You never heard of her? Huh? You got canals up there you never dreamed of.
What? I don't like to harp on a subject,
but... I don't care. It comes with me. Never have. That's why they call me gregarious. I hear you and young Stovepipe here had a real nice visit.
Your boys got about an acre of lumber to haul, dingus. Better goose them down yonder.
The James Gang committed over 25 bank, train, and stagecoach robberies from 1867 to 1881. But except for Frank and Jesse James, all the original members were now either dead or in prison. So for their last robbery at Blue Cut, the brothers recruited a gang of petty thieves and country rubes, culled from the local hillsides.
I just don't give a damn. I'm glad I fought against her. I only wish we'd won. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I done. I hate the Yankee Nation and everything they do. I hate the Declaration of Independence too. I hate the glorious Union is dripping with our blood. I hate the striped banner. It is all I could. Ooh, I'm a good old rebel. Now yeah, that's just what I am. And for the Yankee Nation, I do not give a damn.
Right on schedule, Buck!
Snuff those lanterns! Look at those fools. They're gonna trip and shoot each other into females.
I bet you I can find them husbands if they do.
Thank you.
Do you think that lock will hold?
No, I don't.
Let's go. Let's go.
Peek around. Oh, shit. Nope. Nope. You got anything good here?
Could be.
Yeah, he did. They need convincing. They got their company rules, and I got my mean streak, and that's the way you get things done around here. Get on over here and attend to this thing.
Dig deeper. Come on!
Give me your money, yours.
And you, stand up.
Your hand.
What did you got?
Yeah, I ain't no pain.
Speak English.
Yeah, kicks
my gings. Money. Money. You understand that?
That's it.
Give me your money.
Some receipts. Your fives. Good.
There ain't no $100,000 in here, Dick. Get down on your knees.
Why?
But you ought to pray. I'm gonna kill you.
Make me.
All right.
Shoot him.
Don't tell me what I can and cannot do, Ed.
Chicago newspaper publishers made a great deal of the Blue Cut train robbery, alleging that in no state but Missouri would the James brothers be tolerated for 12 years.
Hey, he can't keep it a secret.
Depends on what you're concealing.
You afraid of the dark?
Oh?
He's superstitious.
I put an acorn in the window to keep the lightning out.
Kid, you missing? Crept up on Cat's paw.
Yeah, I'll wager that's the first and last time you'll ever be caught off guard.
How old are you?
20. Except, I guess I won't really be 20 till January, so. I'm 19.
Yeah, you feel older than that, though, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Hey, Frank, you think the sheriff's out already?
More than likely.
I had a real fine time tonight.
You think so?
Yeah. Hey, I wasn't just flapping my lips about my kid brother and me. But what I figured was if you and Jesse could gauge our courage and our daring, you might just make us your regular sidekicks.
Your courage and your daring. I about heard all I want to about sidekicks. Sound like your damn brother.
Yeah, well, I'll be square with you. It's Bob who put me up to it. He's got plans for the James boys. I can't even get the hang of it. They're that complicated.
Yeah? We can just get shit of that idea. Because after tonight, there'll be no more shenanigans. And jot that down in your little diary. September 7th, 1881, the James gang robbed one last train at Blue Cut and gave up their night riding for good.
Wait there. Well, how are you gonna make your living?
Maybe I sell shoes.
I can't believe I woke up this morning wondering if my daddy would loan me his overcoat. And here it is just past midnight. I've already robbed a railroad train. I'm sitting in a rocking chair chatting with none other than Jesse James.
Yeah, it's a wonderful world.
Oh. What's this? Oh, yeah. Because I was real agitated this morning. I was wondering if I would know you or Frank, tell you all apart. And so I had this clipping that described you both. Want me to read it?
Go on.
Well, I gotta find. Hold on. Jesse James, the youngest, has a face as smooth and innocent as a schoolgirl. The blue eyes, very clear and penetrating, are never at rest. His form is tall and graceful and capable of great endurance and great effort. Jesse is lighthearted, reckless, and devil may care. There's always a smile on his
all
lips
right,
and a.
All right.
Well, yeah, then just Frank, that's nothing, and then... Oh, you know what I got right next to my bed? Is The Train Robbers, or Story of the James Boys by R.W. Stevens. Many's the night I stayed up. My eyes open, my mouth open, just reading about your escapades in the Wide Awake Library.
They're all lies, you know.
Of course they are.
You don't have to keep smoking that if it's making you bungee.
Alexander Franklin James would be in Baltimore when he would read of the assassination of Jesse James. He had spurned his younger brother for being peculiar and temperamental. But once he perceived that he would never see Jesse again, Frank would be wrought up, perplexed, despondent.
Hardly on speaking terms these days.
Well, I wasn't gonna mention it.
You scared?
Well, I'm just surprised a little.
They ain't succulents I like, and they're devil clean, but if a man skins them, fries them in garlic and oil, mercy, them's good eating.
Well, I've never been that hungry.
I give them names.
Such as?
Such as enemies. I give them names of enemies.
Tell Wood and Charlie to get the Gavins together.
Me too.
Ah, you can stay.
All right. Hey.
You want a peck of wood?
Oh, nothing. Except to tell you, Jess wants you two to gather your parts and get on your horses and get out of town. And me to stick around.
Well, I'm his cousin. I'll have you know. My mama's his daddy's sister.
Is that how they described it to you, Wood?
Well, you better watch your tongue, young sapling. Why is it me who's got to rattle his hawks out of town and not you, Bunny?
Put your horns away, Wood. If I know Jess, this is real. Nasty, sad Susie work's got to be done around here, and Bob's the ninny that has to do it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's it, Charlie.
They only met him 12 hours ago. He didn't even know your name.
Wood, you tell your daddy I'll be in Kentucky in October. We can hunt some birds together.
All right. So, how come it's Bob who gets to stay?
Bob's gonna move my gear to a house down the street.
See?
Oh, I don't mind.
Yeah, well.
Sounds like an adventure.
They moved to 1017 Troost Avenue at night so that the neighborhood couldn't get a good look at them or their belongings. And then Bob thought Jesse would give him 8 hours sleep and a daydreaming goodbye. With a second day in the Thomas Howard house, Bob thought he might never go, but might be brought in as a good-natured cousin to the boy and a gentleman helper to Z. He went everywhere with Jesse. They made trips to the Topeka Exchange Saloon, where Jesse could spend nearly 60 minutes sipping one glass of beer and still complain about feeling tipsy. Bob would rarely vouchsafe his opinions as they talked. If spoken to, he would fidget and grin. If Jesse palavered with another person, Bob secretaried their dialogue, getting each inflection, reading every gesture and tick,
as if he wanted to compose a biography of the outlaw, or as if he were preparing an impersonation.
Go away.
It used to be, could no one sneak up on Jesse James?
Now you think otherwise.
I ain't never seen you out your guns, neither.
I can't figure it out. You want to be like me? Or you want to be me?
Well, I'm just making fun of it all.
Bob was sent away cordially the next day, with a goodbye from Jesse, but nothing from Z beyond what good manners demanded. It was 40 miles to his sister's farm from Kansas City, and it was well into the afternoon by the time he arrived there. Mrs. Martha Bolton rented the Harbison farm in 1879, just after becoming a widow. And she made a good income by giving rooms and meals to her brothers Charlie, Wilbur, and Bob, and to members of the James Gang who would appear whenever they needed seclusion.
Shit! You're gonna make her sick! She's gonna hug you, she's gonna watch you out!
Wood Height had been spurned by Martha in his affection.
Hear me?
And his attempt to switch his pursuit to her daughter was currently being thwarted by Dick Little.
Wait a second, you assured me that you were not ticklish.
Howdy!
What's going on now?
Howdy!
Are you tripping about it?
I'm not supposed to peek, Dick.
Well, you're just so pretty, I can't help myself.
Howdy! Howdy!
How long you been there?
Just now arrived. Did I miss much?
Not unless you never seen a man wash a dirty carcass before.
Boy, you got a big old pecker for being such a little squirrel.
Is that what you come here to see, Dick?
No. Your brother said that Jesse kept you in Kansas City some extra days. What was the reason?
Well, I'm not at liberty to say exactly.
Let me ask you this. Did Jesse mention that me and Cummins were in cahoots?
Is that so?
Oh, dear. I went on and said too much, have I?
Well, who else is partners with you two?
See, he'll cut our throats if he finds out. You don't know him like I do. You do Jesse dirt, you connive behind his back. Boy, he'll come after you with a cleaver.
You two cahoots cooking up.
Don't know that I should say.
I'm not gonna wheedle the dang news from you, Dick.
Well, how about we'll leave it a mystery, and then we won't neither one of us regret our little chat. Can you hand me that six gun there, Bob?
you so much. As mentioned, my name to Jesse. Boy, I'll find out about it. You had better believe that. And I'll look you up. I'll knock on your door. And I will be as mad as a hornet. I will be hot.
Be careful with that iron, Dick.
You know where I stand on these matters, and that's all there is to it. Me and you can be as friendly as pigs from now on.
Some nerve.
We were just reading about the James boys and among the Mexicans.
This is.
This ain't Jesse.
What is y'all?
You don't know that. Never wore no mustache. Yeah. Never was anywhere near a cannon.
See that picture?
Well, I can't even calculate what I'm looking at.
Ever since he was a child, Bob's collected whatsoever he could find about the James brothers. You know, son.
Yeah, got himself a little museum in his
room. It's time he comes snooping around here. You better strap on a shooting iron. Oh, you can see how scared I am.
You too would, huh? You cross me again, I'll put a bullet through your head.
Well, you... Son, you better recollect who my cousin is. Because you've seemed to misremembered that Jesse loves me like the good book. And you may play like you're a dangerous person in the grocery store. But don't you go misremembering who you be accounting to if I so much get my feelings hurt.
I don't care.
Do I have to yell, Julie?
Why don't we make up and be pleasant for once? Why don't we pass the evening like pleasant human beings now?
Like your nickel suit, cowboy.
You see something?
Just a bird.
The month of October came, and Jesse began seeing Pinkerton operatives in every floor walker, street sweeper, and common man poking about in a store. On the morning of the 11th, he would wake his wife with the scripture pertaining to the Holy Family's flight into Egypt. Overnight, the Thomas Howard clan vanished from Kansas City. Shortly thereafter, four of the Blue Cut train robbers were arrested in shacks near Glendale. How Jesse could have known remains a mystery. Theirs was a wandering existence. Men who choose to be outlaws cannot afford to remain in one place for very long.
Maybe I'll change my mind.
Wood and Dick would bicker across the entire state of Kentucky until they made Russellville, home of Major George Hite, Wood's father, and uncle to Frank and Jesse James.
You stay away from this one. She's my dad's wife. You got it?
Thank you.
Did you cook this, ma'am?
I've got a nigger woman.
How's that?
Dick ass if I cook this.
Did you?
No.
She knew what he was like when she married him.
I guess we're the night owls. You and I.
I'm glad.
Oh? How come?
You're interesting to look at. You have a real pleasant disposition. And I don't know, you sort of make me feel warm all over.
You know, I'm what they call an enamorado.
Well, I knew there had to be a name for it.
You and the Hyde family don't get along too well if I'm to trust Wood and his version of the situation.
We hate each other like poison, if you want to know the truth. Most of the Hydes wouldn't spit on me if I was on fire.
They say that when a woman's on fire, you're supposed to roll her around on the ground and cover her with your body.
You are a naughty tea.
Isn't it about bedtime? Well, I'll just kiss those dainty nubbins. Stop. Boy, I believe I drank too much coffee. I gotta go visit the privy, something terrible.
This is embarrassing.
Hey, you go ahead and do your duty. I don't mind.
I've sort of got stage fright with a strange man in the commode with me.
I ain't strange. I'm built just like the rest of them. You look awful pretty.
Do I?
I've never in my life seen such well-shaped limbs.
Is Wood awake?
It's just me.
And I bet you thought I was a lady.
You ain't much of a housekeeper, are you?
He didn't just happen by.
Why not? Take load up. Y'all get yourself a wife.
I was gonna ask Martha, Charlie's sister. I was gonna ask her if she could imagine it. But I guess Wood has plans of his own. And there's always Dick Little getting in the way. I'll give it some thought, though.
Your crops come in?
No, I don't got much. Just a garden patch and a pasture. I was sick at planting time.
Ed, how you feeling now?
Why?
You're acting queer.
Well, you and me ain't been just real good friends lately. That's not your fault, you understand? But... You hear talk, though.
Talk.
People tell you things.
Why don't you give me an example?
Jim Cummins come by here.
Jim Cummins?
Oh, and Jim says... You know them boys got caught in the blue cut deal? Well, Jim says he got word that you're planning to kill him.
Why would I do that?
Let's just talk, probably.
Jim Cummins. He say anything else?
Nope. Nope, that was it, basically.
That still don't explain why you're scared.
Well, I'm in the same situation, you see. I was terrified I saw you ride up.
I just happened by, Ed.
I suppose you heard gossip, though. Suppose you heard Jim Cummins come by here. You might have thought that we were planning to capture you or get that reward, and that ain't true. But you might have suspected.
Haven't heard a lick of gossip lately.
I got $600 stashed away. I don't need no governor's reward.
Well, that's principle, too. Well, I'm glad I stopped by.
Oh, me too.
didn't say if we were to go for a ride. When you go into town, I'll buy you dinner. And I'll be on my way.
Okay.
Go for a ride.
We going to your place.
Seen Ed Miller lately?
Nobody has.
Must have gone off to California.
I'd still like to know where we're going.
If you were going to see Jim Cummins, wouldn't you follow this road?
I guess so.
Howdy. Are you friends of my boss?
We're friends of Jim Cummins.
Well, it so happens he's been gone since August. Never said where he'd gone to.
Matt Collins.
Albert Ford.
Very happy to meet you.
Dick Turpin.
Please make your acquaintance.
Uncle Jim is, and that's gonna make him old soon enough.
Maybe he doesn't know.
He knows! You need to ask and ask sometimes. Sometimes a child don't remember so much at first, but it'll come back to him. My goodness, she's about to rip off, sweetie. Just a little more here to get her started. Then I think I can rip her off like a page from a book.
Jesus, he can't even talk.
Where's Jim? 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 Where's Jim?
Craig!
Where...
You bastard!
don't know where he is. You won't believe me. You never give me a chance. You kept my mouth shut. I never know where Jim is or when he comes. So leave me alone. Get off me, you son of a bitch.
All right, Jesse.
Jesse was sick, with rheums and aches and lung congestions. Insomnia stained his eye sockets like soot. He read auguries in the snarled intestines of chickens, or the blow of cat hair released to the wind. And the omens promised bad luck, which moated and dungeoned him.
Extra, you mark themselves that they don't have to.
Still don't seem fair. Martha.
Well, look where the cat dragged in. You come from Kentucky?
Why do you have your head in the hole?
Wood and Dick had a shooting scrape a few months ago.
Cover the kettle, Ida. And what did you and Dick get in a scrape about?
Well, he tampered with my daddy's wife. My pork chop burned on the skillet. So I shot at him.
In the cream when you skim it.
This decanery and his philandering ways has instigated certain malice. He's a yellow snake in the grass and you can't be trusted,
Martha. Dick told me a complete other version of that affray.
What hides downstairs?
You mean he's here?
Hey, simmer down.
Don't get a fracture up there, you boy.
be still sucking air. But I think he's a goner. Maybe the old bear can wish him well on his journey.
Wood? You're a good fellow, Wood.
Oh, I sure hope you're not in frightful pain, Wood. I get you something to drink, but I'm afraid you just choke on it. Little Ida's gonna miss you. So is the rest of the family.
We got one thing settled. Can't take him into Richmond.
Why not?
Well, one, the sheriff will put Bob in jail. And two, Jesse will find out his cousin Wood's been shot in our house, and then that'll be the end of each and every one of us.
And in one merciless, violent thrust, broke in and carried all before him and scented him brood, reeking with blood of my virginity, up to its utmost length in my body. He ain't disappeared, if that's what you're hoping.
What chapter you on?
Oh, she's met some Algerine corsair down at Gibraltar. Got herself all agitated.
How's that leg?
Full of torment, Bob. Thanks for asking.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are them that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the
meek.
Blessed are the meek.
About Wood, do you think?
I don't know, Bob. All I know is he don't miss very much.
What should I say about you if he asks?
You tell him I'm in KC with Maddie.
He's buffalo hunting. He was thrilled to meet yours truly.
Yeah, over there in Europe, there's only two Americans they know for certain, Mark Twain and Jesse James.
Why, it's the kid.
How's everything?
I never take off my gun belts.
Good thinking.
I need to follow you.
Well, Charlie, did you hurt your leg?
Yes, slipped. I slipped off the roof and I smacked down into a snowbank. Like a ton of stupidness. Second, I'm screaming, whoa, Nelly! Next second, poof, I'm neck deep in snow.
Well, whatever possessed you to climb a roof in December?
There was a kite. What am I saying? There was a cat. A cat was on the roof, and I went after him. It was a tomcat. Yeah, and what all, and I slept.
I thought maybe your club foot was gaining on you. Oh, yeah.
Dick went to Kansas City to be with his wife. He was here for a bit.
Hey, here's a cute story, Jess. Bobby was what, 11 or 12? And you were by far his most admired personage. He couldn't get enough. It was Jesse this and Jesse that and Jesse this from sunrise to sunset.
Fascinating.
No, there's more. This is cute. We're at supper, and Bob asks, you know what size boot Jesse wears?
Charlie, Jesse doesn't want to hear this.
Shush now, Bob. Let me tell it. Bob says, he says, you know what size boot Jesse wears? He says, 6 1/2. He says, ain't that a big enough boot for a man 5 feet 8 inches tall? I decided to josh him a little, you know, he being my kid brother and everything. So I said, he doesn't have toes, is why.
That's a really stupid story.
Yeah, he's dangling his feet off a culvert, and the catfish nibbled his toes off.
Bob jazzed himself trying to picture it.
That'd be a good joke if it was funny.
Isn't that a cute story, Jess?
Give you some more conversations, Bob.
I got one. This one's about as Cracker Jack. Is it one about you?
Let Bob tell it.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
About how you and Jesse have so much in common.
Go on, Bob.
Yeah, come on, Bob. Tell us a story.
Nope.
Come on. Entertain Jesse. Mm-hmm. He's here. Come on.
Well, pardon my saying so, I guess it is interesting the many ways you and I overlap and whatnot. I mean, you begin with our daddies. Your daddy was a pastor of the New Hope Baptist Church, and my daddy was a pastor of the church in Excelsior Springs. You're the youngest of 3 James boys, and I'm the youngest of 5 Ford boys. Between Charlie and me is another brother, Wilbur here, with 6 letters in his name. And between Frank and you is another brother, Robert, also with 6 letters. And my Christian name is Robert, of course. You have blue eyes, I have blue eyes. You're 5 feet 8 inches tall, I'm 5 feet 8 inches tall. Oh, me, I must have had a list as long as your nightshirt when I was 12. But I seem to have lost some curiosities over the years.
I'll tell you a story about that scalawag George Shepherd. Shepherd's one of Quantrell's lieutenants. He gave me a story much like Bob's, what bring him to mind. Going on about how much we had in common and so on, so he could get in the gang. How could I have known he had a grudge against me? How could I have known he was lying to get on my good side? I said, George, come on aboard. Glad to have you. George thought he was smart, except he wasn't. One morning, George rides into camp, and about 20 guns open up on him. See, old George, you only have one eye. You got two eyes. You want to get Jesse.
You ought not think of me like you do, George Shepherd.
You brought him to mind.
It's not very flattering.
Sure is good eating, Martha.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
How come George had a grudge against you? I said, how come George had a grudge against you?
Oh. Well, you see, George had a nephew he wanted me to protect during the war. His nephew had $5,000 on him. It just so happens he winds up killed, and someone swipes that money. And when George is in prison, someone whispers to him, it was Jesse James slit the boy's throat.
It's just mean gossip, was it?
Bob's the expert. Let's put it to him. Oh, dear, I made him cranky.
Not cranky. I've just been through this before, is all. Once people get around to making fun of me, they don't ever let up.
Oh, someone's getting awful fresh over there.
Woman, shut your face for once.
Whoa. Now, I don't want you to skip off up to your room and pout without knowing why I come by for this visit.
Why'd you come by? So you could tell us how sorry you are you had to slap our cousin Albert around?
I come by to ask if one of you two Fords care to ride with me in a journey or two. I guess we both agree it ought to be Charlie. You've been acting sort of testy. Wood High lately?
No. Not at all.
You're Charles Ford?
Yes, ma'am. You seen me once or twice before.
I got a letter from George Hyde. He hasn't seen hide nor hair of him.
You say you haven't seen Wood.
No, I can't imagine where he could be.
Finished with your sleeping?
I could use a couple wires. This is no trouble.
Yeah. I've been holding a discussion with myself over if I ought to tell you this or no. My good side won out and clean breast thing.
My mind's a little cobwebby. It's on the drawback. He's a little more asleep. You know, I went to Kentucky.
Yeah.
I come back through Saline County. And I think to myself, why not stop by and see Ed Miller? So I do. Well, things are not to my satisfaction. Ed's got himself all worked up over something. I can see that he's lying like a rug. So I say to myself, enough's enough. And I say to Ed, come on, Ed. Let's go for a ride. You understand what I'm saying?
Going for a ride. Going for a ride like giving them what for.
Exactly. So, Ed and Jesse, they argue on the road.
Have you ever count the stars? I can't ever get the same number. They keep changing on me.
I don't even know what a star is exactly.
Well, your body knows. It's your mind that forgot.
Oh, oh, oh.
You go ahead, partner. I'll catch up with you.
See, your cousin, he got off easy. I was just playing with Albert.
Yeah, I made him squeal once or twice myself. I'm just not as thorough as you are.
You got a tail swap with me now?
Get your meaning.
Seems to me if you have something to confess in exchange, it'd only be right you spit it out now.
I think of a single thing.
About Wood Height, for example.
I'm not going... I've been saying over and over again, I can't figure out where he's going now. I'm not going to change my story just to have something to spit.
Why was your brother so agitated?
Which?
Bob.
That's just his way. He's antsy. You know?
Going back to sleep now.
You got me agitated now, you see.
Yeah, it just ain't no peace when old Jess's around. You ought to pity my poor wife.
Lynn Miller was a good friend of mine. He introduced me to you at that one poker game. I'm a little angry with you, if you want to know the God's honest truth.
You ought to pity me, too.
Proof of his confederacy with the James gang, Bob told the authorities that Dick Little was sleeping over at the rented farmhouse while his ruined leg mended. And then created a map of the Harbison property, leaving out the creek, but Wood Heights remains now moldered.
Mike, you boys are cornered! Come on out peaceably! Nobody
will
get shot up.
Don't shoot.
Come on out and show yourself.
Andrew James Little, warned here for your arrest. Participation.
Snowstorms would move over Missouri that Sunday, February 19th, shutting down commerce for more than 2 days.
Papers here.
He wants to know if the papers are here.
I don't care what he wants.
And yet this wouldn't prevent Robert Ford from presenting himself to Governor Crittenden at the Craig Rifles Ball on Wednesday.
I deem it a great privilege on this glorious occasion to recognize publicly the intelligent and effective assistance that Captain Henry Craig has rendered the state of Missouri and myself in our joint quest to rid Jackson County of the James Band. The task that Captain Craig his assume will require fearless courage, extraordinary vigilance, and an unerring selection of instrumentalities. Well, I've gotten a signal from my wife that enough is enough. However, before I sit, I would like to ask you to join me in a toast to a great son of the state of Missouri, my friend, Henry Craig. Yeah.
Let my attorney.
I get it.
Out of the way now.
You know, you're more goddamn trouble than you're worth, Bob.
I was just going to say hello.
Oh, you weren't going to do that, Bob. That's the way you're down here. You think it's your goddamn coming out. You think you're the goddamn belle of the ball. Now, you get upstairs and try to keep your identity secret, you silly little bastard. Governor will see you in good time. Take him, my boys.
Bob would later be cross-examined repeatedly about the exact nature of the deal he had made with the authorities. And he was never consistent in his recollections.
My wife's asleep in the other room, so let's speak as quiet as we can.
So you're Dick Little.
Little.
I beg your pardon?
I spell it with two D's.
He's giving us a full confession, Governor. Newspapers haven't caught on to it yet. And you guaranteed him a conditional pardon and amnesty for all the robberies he's committed.
You Robert Ford? How old are you?
20.
You surrendered to Sheriff Timberlake as well?
No, Governor. That's his brother, Charlie Ford. He's in the James gang. Bob here. We got nothing on Bob. He's just acting in capacity as a private detective.
Jesse James sent me a telegram last month saying he'd kill me if he had to wreck a train to do it. He said once I got in his hands, he'd cut my heart out and eat it in strips like it was bacon. I'll wreck his train first.
Oh. I'm sorry, Your Excellency. I was thinking about something else.
Jesse James was nothing more than a public outlaw who made his reputation by stealing whatever he wanted, killing whoever got in his way. You'll hear some fool say he's getting back at Republicans and Union men. The wrongs his family suffered during the war. But his victims have scarcely been selected with reference to their political views.
I'm saying his sins will soon find him out. I'm saying his cup of iniquity is full. I'm saying Jesse James is a desperate case and may require a desperate remedy.
Y'all got the right man for the job. Suicide?
I can't say that I have. There's always something else I wanted to do. Or my predicament's changed, or some of my hardships from a different slant. You know what can happen. They never seem respectable.
You don't mind dying once you've peeked over to the other side. You no more want to go back to your body than you want to spoon up your own puke.
Hey, since we're looking to rob banks, I was wondering if we could add another fella to the gang and sort of see if we couldn't come out of our next job alive. Bob wanted to know, could he ride with us next time we took on a savings bank or... railroad? Bob has been much more than a boy to most appearances, but there's about 2 tons of sand in him. And he'll stand with the shooter when this was called for. And he's smart, too. He's about as intricate as they come.
You forget I already met the kid.
Yeah, he surely thinks highly of you.
All America thinks highly of me.
Still, it's not like you got 2 million names you can snatch out of a sock whenever you need a third man.
I can see you trying to wear me down on this.
That's my main intention.
Robberies would be conceived but never carried out in Nebraska, Colorado, and Missouri. During this time, Henry Craig enjoined Robert Ford to return to Elias' grocery store in Richmond and await instructions from Sheriff James Timberlake.
All right, 3 cans, peaches, 2 cans, 2 cans sifted peas, 1 bottle, Mary's Morning Tonic, 1/2, 5 seconds. I'll be right with you. I haven't seen any sign of him.
Well, do you know where he's living?
Nope.
Well, I can't guess how he does it, but he is always knowledgeable about what's going on. He's going to know that I've been here with you. You ought to take that for granted. And he will kill you if he gets the chance. Are you willing to risk that?
Yes, I am. I've been a nobody all my life. I was the baby. I was the one they made promises to that they never kept. And ever since I can remember it, Jesse James has been as big as a tree. I'm prepared for this, Jim. I want to accomplish it. I know I won't get but this one opportunity, and you can bet your life I'm not going to spoil it.
Well, wait for your chance. Don't let yourself be found alone with him, and do not let him get behind you.
Been chosen.
What do you mean?
Well, your brother said you might want to join us, but maybe you like this grocery store more than you said you did. So you miss me?
Oh, yeah. I've been crying myself to sleep every night.
Don't let him see us so much as wink at each other.
He's suspicious as a damn coyote, and he don't trust you one iota.
Oh, I guess that means...
Hey, you heard it put away Ed Miller. Said so like it. Something piddly he'd done.
more than a minute. I'd like a chance to talk to you first. They gave me 10 days.
For what?
For arresting him.
You and me, huh?
It's gonna happen one way or another, Charlie. It's gonna happen. So it might as well be us who get rich on it.
Bob, he's our friend.
He murdered Ed Miller. And he's gonna murder Little and Cummins if the chance ever comes. Well, it seems to me Jesse's riding from man to man, saying goodbye to the gang. So your friendship could put you under the pansies.
I'll grind it fine in my mind, Bob. I can't go any further than that right now.
You'll come around.
You think it's all made up, don't you? You think it's all yarns and newspaper stories?
He's just a human being.
From now on, you two won't go anywhere without me. From now on, you'll ask for my permission. From now on, you'll ask to be excused.
Bob would be here.
Maybe he was saving it as a pleasant surprise.
Two cousins for company now.
That's gonna be his. We'll leave next Monday afternoon, ride down to Platte City.
How far is that from Kansas City?
Platte City's 30 miles south. You and me and Charlie sleep in the woods overnight. And we'll strike the Wells Bank sometime before the court recesses.
What time will that be exactly?
Well, you don't need to know that. You know, I'm real comfortable with your brother. Hell, he's ugly as sin and smells like a skunk, and he's so ignorant, he couldn't drive nails in the snow. But he's sort of easy to be around. I can't say the same for you, Bob.
I'm sorry to hear you say that.
You know how it is when you're with your girlfriend, the moon's out, and you know she wants to be kissed even though she never said so?
Yeah.
Well, you're giving me signs that grieve my soul. It make me wonder. Maybe your mind's been changed about me.
Well, what do you want me to do, swear my good faith on the Bible?
You two having a spat?
I was getting ready to be angry.
Sit over here closer, kid.
Charlie, you stay with the animals. Me and the kid, we'll walk into that bank just before noon. Bob will move that cashier away from the shotgun that's under the counter. And I'll creep up behind that cashier. And I'll cock his head back like so. And I'll say, how come an off scouring of creation like you still sucking air with so many mining coughing? I'll say, how did you get to reach your 20th birthday without leaking out all of your clothes? And if I don't like his attitude, I will slit that Phil Doodle so deep he will flop on the floor like a fish. My God, what just happened? Boy, I can hear your gears grinding. Your little motor wondering, my gosh, what's next? What's happening to me? Your precious behold, Bob. You were wide as spit in a cotton field.
He got him. He got him.
Well, you want to know how that feels? Unpleasant. I honestly can't recommend it.
Little Charlie looks stricken.
I was.
This is plumb unexpected, little Charlie was thinking. That done ruined my day.
Jesse slept with Bob in the children's room that night. And Bob remained awake. He could see that there was a gun on the nightstand. He could imagine its cold nickel inside his grip. Its 2-pound weight reached out and aimed.
I need to go to the privy.
You think she did, but you don't.
You wait for Grace.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank you, Z.
That looks good.
Thank you, Z.
Well, is this 50 or will it just do?
Woman's cooking's always been a scandal. Cut her meat and the whole table moves.
Hey, you want a biscuit? You gonna have a biscuit? Or some butter? Come on. Come on.
Hey!
Oh! Oh! Shoot!
And so it went. Jesse was increasingly cavalier. Mary. Moody. Faye. Unpredictable. He camouflaged his depressions and derangements with masquerades of extreme cordiality, courtesy, and goodwill towards others. But even as he jested, or tickled his boy in the ribs, Jesse would look over at Bob with melancholy eyes, as if the two were meshed in an intimate communication. Bob was certain that the man had unriddled him, had seen through his reasons for coming along, that Jesse could forecast each of Bob's possible moves and inclinations, and was only acting the innocent in order to lull Bob into stupid tranquility and miscalculation.
How long have you been studying me?
You're gonna break a lot of hearts.
How do you mean?
It's a present. What are you gonna look inside?
It's April Fool's Day, you know.
It ain't no joke.
Oh, such extravagance.
Don't that nickel just shine, though?
It's more than I could hope for.
Well, I figure that granddaddy Colt of yours may blow into fragments next time you try to squeeze the trigger.
Well, you might have something there.
Tom, supper's ready.
Be right there, sweetheart.
I might be too excited to eat.
You know what John Newman Edwards once wrote about me? He said I didn't trust 2 men in 10,000. Even them I was cautious around. Government sort of run me ragged. I'm going the long way around the barn to say that I've been feeling cornered and just plain ornery as of late, and I'd be pleased if you'd accept that gun as my way of apologizing.
Heaven knows I'd be ornerier if I were in your position.
No, I haven't been acting correctly. Seems I hardly recognize myself when I'm greased. I go on journeys out of my body and look at my red hands and my mean face. I wonder about that man that's gone so wrong. I've been becoming a problem to myself.
Wash my hands. My supper's on.
Go ahead.
The day before he died was Palm Sunday. And Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Howard, their two children, and their cousin, Charles Johnson, strolled to the Second Presbyterian Church to attend the 10 o'clock service. Bob remained at the cottage and slyly migrated from room to room. He walked into the master bedroom and inventoried the clothes on the hangers and hooks. He sipped from the water glass on the vanity. He smelled the talcum and lilacs on Jesse's pillowcase. His fingers skittered over his ribs to construe the scars where Jesse was twice shot. He manufactured a middle finger that was missing the top two knuckles. He imagined himself at 34. He imagined himself in a coffin. He considered possibilities and everything wonderful that could come true.
Ain't gonna be no Flat City. That's Jesse fooling with us. Go to sleep, John.
I'm feeling sort of peculiar.
Well, Isaac, you're looking so interesting.
You think it's intelligent to go out like that? So all creation can see your guns?
Put that up for Daddy, would you?
What do you think goes on that noggin of his?
Nothing.
I was talking about his mind, not yours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I get it.
Well, hello now. The arrest and confession of Dick Little.
You don't say so.
It's very strange. Says here Dick surrendered 3 weeks ago.
Well, you must have been right in the neighborhood.
Well, apparently they kept it a secret. If I get to Kansas City soon, I'll ask somebody about it.
You ready?
I will be, if I knew.
Love is gentle, and love is kind, the sweetest flower when first it's new. But love grows old, and waxes cold, and fades away like morning dew. There's a ship, she sails the sea.
I guess I'll take my guns off, for fear the neighbors might spy them.
The water is wide, I can't cross oars. control of Father's kind, sweetest flower, which is just new. But love grows old, and waxes cold, and fades away like morning dew.
Don't that picture look dusty?
I swear to God, I didn't.
It was an accident, Z. Pistol went off accidentally.
Thank you all very much.
The resulting prints sold for $2 a piece and were the models for the lithographed covers on a number of magazines. Soon, 1,000 strangers were making spellbound pilgrimages to the cottage. Or were venerating the iced remains inside Invaden's cooling room. The man who offered $30,000 for the body of President Garfield's assassin sent a telegram to City Marshal Innes Craig offering $50,000 for the body of Jesse Woodson James so that he could go around the country with it. Or at least sell it to P.T. Barnum for his greatest show on earth. Another photograph was taken of the renowned American bandit nestled in his bed of ice. And it was this shot that was most available in sundries and apothecaries to be viewed in a stereoscope alongside the Sphinx, the Taj Mahal, and the catacombs of Rome.
Confession of Dick Little. Young man, I thought you told me you didn't know Dick had surrendered.
You mean he did? I didn't know. But I knew I had not fooled him. And he knew as well as I in that moment that I intended to bring him to justice. But he would not kill me in the presence of his wife and children. And so he was smiling to throw me off guard.
Well, it's all right anyway, Bob.
It was widely felt that Bob possessed some acting talent, and Charlie, not a jot.
That picture's awful dusty.
Charlie was only expected not to slouch or mutter, and to transport his sicknesses to the alley before letting them go.
And that's how I killed Jesse James.
By October of 1883, Bob Ford could be identified correctly by more citizens than could the President of the United States. He was as renowned at 20 as Jesse was after 14 years of grand larceny.
Get your hooks into me. That's right. That's right. Sitting next to your boyfriend.
Charlie was increasingly superstitious, increasingly subject to the advice of soothsayers, who promised to cure his miseries with pipe smoke and poultices.
You've been spending too much time with gypsies, Charlie.
Mm-hmm. Shit.
Picture's awful dusty.
Something began to change in Charlie's stage portrayal of Jesse. His gait seemed more practiced. His voice was spookily similar to the man's. His newly suggested dialogue was analogous to a script Jesse might have originated. He began to look at his younger brother with spite, as if he suspected that in some future performance he might present himself to a live cartridge in Robert Ford's gun.
Murder! Cur! Coward!
You want to investigate my courage? Do you? Find out! Find out! Nobody.
Coward!
By his own approximation, Bob assassinated Jesse James over 800 times. He suspected no one in history had ever so often or so publicly recapitulated an act of betrayal. Bob always challenged the allegations of cowardice, but Charlie seemed to agree with them. He spoke of Mrs. Z. James as certain priests smite the Madonna, and composed long, soul-describing letters to her, begging her forgiveness. None of which he mailed. Charlie Ford became all that his countrymen wanted an assassin of Jesse James to be.
Jesse James was a man who killed many men here up the Glendale train. And he stole from the rich and he gave to the poor. He had a hand and a heart and a brain. Well, Jesse had a wife to mourn for his life. Three children, they were brave. But that dirty little coward who shot Mr. Howard has laid Jesse James in his grave. It was Robert Fulton, that dirty little coward. I wonder how does he feel? For he ate at Jesse's bread, and he slept in Jesse's bed, and he laid poor Jesse in his grave. Well, Jesse had a wife to mourn for his life. Three children, they were brave. But that dirty little coward who shot Mr. Howard has laid poor Jesse in his grave.
I'm Robert Ford.
Hey, you get yourself home, son, okay? Come on, get out of here. Get out of my place.
He thought, at his angriest, about visiting the kin of Jesse's slaughtered victims. Mrs. William Westfall in Plattsburgh. The Wymore family in Clay County. Perhaps even Mrs. Joseph Haywood in Northfield, Minnesota. He would go to their homes and give his name as Robert Ford, the man who killed Jesse James. He imagined they would be grateful to him.
Thank you.
It was only with Dorothy Evans that Bob spoke revealingly or plainly. And it was with her that he spoke of things he didn't know he knew. He told her that he had no real memory of the shooting and its aftermath. He could remember lifting the gun that Jesse had given him. And then it was Good Friday, and he was reading about the funeral proceedings as if they'd happened a long time ago.
Why did you kill him?
Well, he was gonna kill me.
So you were scared, and that's the only reason?
Yeah. I never worked.
Do you want me to change the subject?
You know what I expected? Applause. I was only 20 years old then. I couldn't see how it would look to people. I was surprised by what happened. They didn't applaud.
He was ashamed of his boasting, his pretensions of courage and ruthlessness. He was sorry about his cold-bloodedness, his dispassion, his inability to express what he now believed was the case. That he truly regretted killing Jesse. That he missed the man as much as anybody. And wished his murder hadn't been necessary. Even as he circulated his saloon, he knew that the smiles disappeared when he passed by. He received so many menacing letters that he could read them without any reaction except curiosity. He kept to his apartment all day, flipping over playing cards, looking at his destiny in every king and jack. Edward O'Kelly came up from Bachelor at 1 p.m. on the 8th. He had no grand scheme, no strategy, no agreement with higher authorities, nothing beyond a vague longing for glory, and a generalized wish for revenge against Robert Ford. Edward O'Kelly would be ordered to serve a life sentence in the Colorado Penitentiary for second-degree murder. Over 7,000 signatures would eventually be gathered on a petition asking for Kelly's release, and in 1902, Governor James B. Orman would pardon the man.
You'll be wearing that stick pin again there, Bob. Opals are unlucky.
Well, it's not very good as it is, Marty. I don't think an opal's going to change that much.
There would be no eulogies for Bob. No photographs of his body would be sold in sundry stores. No people would crowd the streets in the rain to see his funeral cortege. No biographies would be written about him. No children named after him. No one would ever pay 25 cents to stand in the rooms he grew up in.
Hello, Bob.
The shotgun would ignite, and Ella Mae would scream, But Robert Ford would only lay on the floor and look at the ceiling, the light going out of his eyes, before he could find the right words.